Yes, welcome on into First Pitch for Tuesday, July 30th. I'm Lindsey Crosby, baseball writer for Athlon Sports, joined by Christian Rau, the managing editor of InsideTheCardinals.com, covering the St. Louis Cardinals. And what a day in Major League Baseball yesterday. And we're not even talking about the games, just the trades. Trade deadline being tonight, 6 p.m., obviously. And so, real quick, before we get into all of those trades, though, I think the biggest surprise, maybe, from the on-the-field performance yesterday was just the New York Yankees absolutely dominating the Philadelphia Phillies. You kind of look at this. It was bad enough where the Phillies are pitching a position player in the ninth, right? But the Yankees hit six home runs. Aaron Judge hits two. New acquisition Jazz Chisholm hits two. And the question I have coming out of this is, I guess there's two questions here. Question number one about the Yankees, are they back? Like, they were struggling. They were slumping a bit. They get Giancarlo Stanton. They add Jazz Chisholm, who played third base yesterday. Are the Yankees back, Christian?
Man, that's a really good question. And I will say that what a day of baseball we had yesterday. This is the true definition of Christmas in July, right? What we get with the trade deadline, and then we're getting some really good baseball. But we had a potential World Series matchup happen between the Yankees and the Phillies yesterday. We're going to get it for two more games. Is the Yankees back? That's a really good question. I want to say that it's trending that direction, right? When you see what's happening with these new trade acquisitions, I'm pretty sure the Yankees aren't done either. I think we're going to have them, their name across the screens once we get to the deadline, at least probably once or twice, what's going to happen with these teams. But when you look at what the Yankees did yesterday, they made a statement, 14-4 mm-hmm. against arguably the best team in the National League right now, not just because of their record, but the Phillies are struggling. We'll talk about that in just a minute. 14-4, 14 hits and 14 runs. It was that easy. They even had an error, and they found a way to do that good on that one. Jazz Chisholm, super impressive. He's got more home runs than DJ LeMahieu does now on the season, and he's only been a Yankee for 2 days. One of them was against the position player, the home runs, but hey, you take what you can get in that case. I really like what the Yankees are putting together. Aaron Judge has finally hit over 4,000 plate appearances. He is one of only 9 players in MLB history, Lindsey, to reach over an OPS of 1,000. Incredible. Aaron Judge is an incredible player. You'd love to have him on your team, but he's not going anywhere. The captain's going to stay with the New York Yankees. Again, 14-4, and we keep saying, are they back? I want to see more, because the stretch of what we saw of them in July was pretty dreadful. And I know we're seeing it with other teams too, and luckily one of the other teams it's happening to is the Baltimore Orioles, so the Yankees are still right in the thick of it. But I want to see more from the New York Yankees for me to actually say, are they back in it? But it's trending in that direction.
Yeah, I think I kind of fall on the same side of that, as in they're not necessarily, I'm not going to fully declare them back, but they're on the way, right? If you look at the box score, the big thing for me is every single Yankees starter in the lineup had a hit, with the exception of Giancarlo Stanton, and he walked and scored. And so this wasn't just something where Soto and Judge carried this whole thing, right? I mean, you know, Volpe batting ninth, 2-for-4, scores 2 runs, has 2 RBI. You know, Austin Wells, 1-for-4. Ben Rice, 2-for-3. I mean, it wasn't just Judge and Jazz hitting homers, right? And I think that's kind of one of the big takeaways here. Even Gleyber Torres at second base, you know, goes 1-for-4 with the run scored and a walk. So yeah, that was one of the big takeaways for me. And then, you know, they get decent pitching. Luis Gil is not as good as he was early in the season, but he goes 5 1/3, 3 runs. The flip side of this, we kind of teased it. Are the Phillies in trouble? If you go back and you look, they haven't, not only have they not won a series since the All-Star break, but leading into the All-Star break, they lost a series to the Oakland A's.
Yeah.
So should we be worried? I mean, Wheeler yesterday, Zach Wheeler gives up 7 earned runs in 5 innings, walks 3 batters, and everybody they sent out of the bullpen, Junior Marte, Gregory Soto, everybody gave up more runs. So should we be worried about the Phillies?
I think you got to throw a flag up of concern, because one, what you did against the Yankees, sure, but they're on the verge. If they lose one more game against the Yankees in this series, they're going to lose five series in a row. Now, should you be concerned? Yes. But when you look at the standings, Lindsay, they're in the same spot that they were at the beginning of the All-Star break. Somehow, some way, they're still 8.5 games above the Atlanta Braves, New York Mets, and the rest of the National League East. So is there caution for concern? Yes, for the holistic view of the Philadelphia Phillies. However, for their playoff chances, for where they sit in the division, I think you just have to have that concern of caution because they are in the exact same spot they were before the skid. So that's where I'm sitting on that one.
I think the thing for me is the offense put up four runs, and this is an offense that's back to full health, right? They were missing Trey Turner for a while. They missed Real Muto for a while. They had brief absences from Schwarber and Harper. All of those guys were in the lineup yesterday. Bryce Harper went 0 for 4. Kyle Schwarber, weirdest stat line in the world, 0 for 1, 3 walks, right? Trey Turner, 0 for 4. I mean, JT Realmuto, 1 for 4. If their studs are not performing, I worry about the depth. They can't, they just got Austin Hayes. They batted him 9th. He went 1 for 4. Like, if your studs aren't performing, I worry about the ability to keep up in, you know, to consistently perform at the top of the National League. But we'll see what happens. They play another game tonight. We'll give them a chance to see if they can come back and win that. I'm sure we'll be talking about it tomorrow's show because two teams that are, you know, leading baseball right now. Pivoting real quick. Again, a lot of trades happened yesterday. So let's talk about some of these pitching trades. Kind of go through them real quick. But I want to hear, what do you think is the most impactful for this season out of some of these deals? So the Kansas City Royals get Michael Lorenzen from the Texas Rangers. The Boston Red Sox trade with the Pirates. If they get Quinn Priester, the right-hander, and then immediately option him to AAA, which, interesting there. The Astros trade with the Blue Jays. They get Yusei Kikuchi to stick into their rotation. Obviously, they have six starters on the IL, right? They needed some sort of reliability. He's posted. He's been a reliable starter for years, even if he's not living up to the numbers he put up last year. The Brewers get Frankie Montas. I think that they've used like 12 different starters this year. So, like, they need some stability. They go to the Reds and they get Frankie Montas. And then your Cardinals get Eric Fetty from the White Sox in a three-team deal. We'll get to that in a little bit. But of these, which do you think is the more impactful this season?
Ooh, man, I'm going to have to go and just be a little biased here. I'm going to have to take the Cardinals. I will say the most intriguing is Quinn Priester to the Red Sox, though, because I'm excited to see what Andrew Bailey does with Quinn Priester. I want to see what he does. I think that could be exciting. It could be a complete bombshell or it could be really exciting.
He has extra control as well. So this is one that will impact them a couple years down the road too.
100%. I'm going to go with the Cardinals though here with Eric Fetty. The extra control for 2025. It's something that some of these contending teams in the National League, I know the Braves were one of them. The Cardinals are one of them as well, needed for the future. And it shows that the Cardinals are going to take that move into becoming buyers and competing and getting themselves back into the playoffs. We discussed on yesterday's show that maybe they shouldn't do that during rapid fire, during quick pitch, but they're taking the direction of going for it. And now that they've done that, they've got a really good starter. He has resurrected his career in Chicago. I know his numbers holistically in the career is not good, but when you're pitching just over a 3 ERA with the worst team in baseball and have a winning record for the Chicago White Sox. I think it's 7-4. If you correct me if I'm wrong,
7-4. Yeah, 7-4. Going to Korea really resurrected his career. And there was a great article going into the season about his time in the KBO and kind of what he learned. You know, whether it was learning about how to pitch, learning different pitches. He added a sweeper, and I think he added a split finger in there. Really interesting. So I do like that one. I think the most impactful for both teams could end up being the Houston Astros deal with the Toronto Blue Jays. Yusei Kikuchi, here's the thing about Yusei Kikuchi, right? I mentioned that he's not having the numbers that he had last year from an ERA perspective. I mean, he was really good last year. He put up a .386 in Toronto, went 11-6. This year, he's 4-9 with a 4.75 ERA. Doesn't quite look that impressive, but his fielding independent pitching, his FIP, .365, which is right there, better than what it was last year. He had a 4.12 last year, right? So he's significantly underperforming his inputs. And then a lot of his other stuff you really like. Strikeout rate, 10.1 strikeouts per nine innings. One of the higher figures in baseball. He leads the league in games started with 22 already. He's posting every day. He's got good strikeout rates. He's got good peripherals. I really think this can be beneficial for an Astros team that behind Framber Valdez has two guys in Hunter Brown and Ronel Blanco that have blown past their previous innings workloads. And like, you don't know how long they're going to be able to maintain this. And eventually, you know, you'll get some of these injured guys back. You'll get a Luis Garcia or, you know, a Verlander, that kind of stuff. But for now, he gives you a guy that can get you strikeouts, that can post and pitch every 5 days, and then has experience in the bullpen. I believe it was 2022 with Toronto where he shifted to the bullpen and he relieved 12 times, picked up a save, finished some games. I really like this one. But then the flip side of this, the cost to get Yusei Kikuchi, I think was wild. The three-player package, right-hand pitcher Jake Bloss, who was actually Houston's scheduled starter for Monday and they had to scratch him, outfielder Joey Loperfido, and third baseman Will Wagner. Loperfido spent a good portion of the year in the majors, although strikeout issues, couldn't stick as a third outfielder. He was a fourth outfielder. And then Will Wagner batting over .300 in AAA, and they were about to have an opening at third base when Alex Bregman left. And so I think the cost was really, really high to get Yusei Kikuchi, and I wonder if that's going to come back to bite Houston later.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. And I think that you have to really look into that and see if that's going to happen. Toronto did a really good job getting a return. The seller's market has been fantastic this season. However, Baseball America at the end of the night last night came out with something and said, although we think the seller's market is great, no top 100 prospects been moved. That's pretty interesting. I'm sure that's going to trade or change by today before the deadline's over. But with how we think the values of the seller's market has gone so far, Lindsay, that was a surprising thing to me. I just didn't really put that two and two together. But when you look at these trades, and especially this Astros trade, the return, the Toronto did good. There's no doubt about it for Kikuchi. There's no doubt about it. But if the Astros have won, are on the verge to make it to their eighth straight ALCS, does it worth it? And if Houston continues to do what Houston does it really matter what this return is if they get back to doing what they're doing?
It's absolutely worth it, right? I do think there's an underreported aspect to this trade that kind of explains this return. Dana Brown is the GM of the Astros, took over, left Atlanta. He was assistant GM to Alex Anthopoulos, left to go to Houston. Working in the Toronto front office is James Click, who was the general manager that took them to the World Series and won the World Series in 2022. And then was fired by the owner. And so he knows that farm system really, really well. And I guarantee you there was no way James Click was going to give a valuable player to the team that fired him without making it hurt. And so that's one of those things where I'm like, maybe a guy should have found somewhere else to get a pitcher. That's a call I wouldn't have even wanted to make. But
and then he took that seriously, right?
He took that seriously. That's the Jordan meme right there. Okay, hitting trades yesterday. A lot of hitting trades. Again, same idea, kind of rapid fire on this. The Cardinals, your Cardinals in that three-team trade get Tommy Pham from the White Sox. In that same deal, the Dodgers got Tommy Edman, who can play both shortstop and center field. They also made a deal with the Tampa Bay Rays to get Amed Rosario, the second straight trade deadline they've traded for Amed Rosario. The Guardians got Lane Thomas from the Washington Nationals. The Mariners get first baseman and DH Justin Turner. And the Braves, late last night, got Jorge Soler from the San Francisco Giants. Of these deals, which do you think is the most impactful down the stretch this year?
Yeah, if you see bags under our eyes, it's because of that Braves trade last night, because we didn't get too much
sleep.
We're both
up late for that. Yeah,
it was pretty exciting. But hey, there's been a lot of people trading. You mentioned Ahmed Rosario being traded for the second straight year, both to the Dodgers. Tommy Pham getting traded for the fourth time in his career, third time at the trade deadline. I'm sure we're going to see Josh Bell get traded for the third straight year deadline before today's over. I'm going to go with Guardians Lane Thomas in this one. I think that, first, the return is great for the Nationals. I think they did a great job on that part. But when you're looking at what the Guardians needed, and they kind of are in a little bit of a slump themselves in July, that AL Central is a battle zone right now between the Twins, the Guardians, and the Royals. Adding that extra outfield just help for the Guardians is, I think, exactly what they needed. Lane Thomas is one of those really underappreciated baseball players. You don't hear about him much. It's kind of like Christian Walker of the Arizona Diamondbacks. If he was on the Dodgers, if he was on one of those big time teams, he'd be on ESPN every night. Lane Thomas, I think, is one of those guys as well. He's not going to get that same love because he's going to Cleveland, but he's going to have that opportunity to make himself into the playoffs. Another former Cardinal, a lot of former Cardinals being moved at this deadline. But I really like Lane Thomas and the Guardians. I think he just fits perfectly for what Cleveland's trying to accomplish. And I like that get.
Yeah. To me, I think the most impactful ends up being these Dodgers moves, simply because if you look at that Dodgers team, the weakness really has been shortstop defense. One, Mookie Betts, as good as he was not grading out as a good defender at shortstop, right? So you have that, right? Miguel Rojas stepped in, played 40-something games before he got hurt, was doing well offensively as well. But getting multiple guys, Ahmed Rosario, Tommy Edman, who can play multiple different positions. Edman can play second, can play short, can play center field. Rosario can play third, can play short, can play second, all that kind of stuff. Here's why I think it matters. The major offensive weakness for this team, I guess there's two, right? Third base and center field. Third base for the Dodgers. Dodgers third basemen in 107 games this year are batting 190. Dodgers center fielders this year are batting 207. So you're not getting the production out of third base, out of center field. Left field's not much better. They're batting like 223. But being able to take Mookie Betts, stick him back in right field, move guys around the outfield, you can cover up left field, you can get Edman in center. He's just about ready to come back. He was on a rehab stint with St. Louis when he got traded. You can stick Rosario at third, or you can use him at short. You've got multiple options that are definite upgrades over the previous utility guys you had in Chris Taylor and Kike Hernandez. And so it kind of solidifies the rest of the weakness offensively of this Dodgers team. So I think that's going to end up being the most impactful, simply because we've seen them slump. They got swept by Philly going into the trade, like going into the All-Star break. So This should help them hang at the top there. Which one of these do you think can come back to hurt that team the most? Similar to how we did the pitching conversation. Which of these can come back to hurt this team the most?
I'm going to add one more thing to that Tommy Edman thing. I think the only concern I have with that Dodgers trade is we have not seen Tommy Edman yet this season, right? True. So there's a lot of concern on what he can perform on. I will just say that. But I think you and I are going to agree on this one. I think that the one that could impact the worst moving forward, and I think this is just more looking into 2025 and beyond, is that Braves trade that happened last night with Jorge Soler. Because that's a lot of money going on the books for the Atlanta Braves. They are taking all of that money of that contract that Soler signed with the Giants at the beginning of the season. That is a lot of money for a team that is going to have to try to sign Max Fried in the offseason. I don't know if that happens now. And then, I think you got to go with Soler.
Yeah, that's he's owed $26 million for 25 and 26 as well. Luke Jackson, the reliever who they got in the deal, who was also on that 2021 World Series roster. So weird. $7 million club option, $2 million buyout for next season. So They do have money coming off the books. Charlie Morton's owed $20 million, but Soler's been a DH all season. He played like 240 innings in right field for the Marlins last year. Didn't have an error. He's not played he's not played defensively once this year in San Francisco. But Atlanta is one of the few teams that not only has a full-time DH, has a good one in Marcell Ozuna. He's got a club option for next year for like $16 million. It feels like a bargain and you've got to accept it. But that means one of these guys has to go into the outfield. So it's probably going to be Solaire. They've indicated they're going to play him in the corner, but this does complicate things going forward because now you have an aging power bat that you have defensive questions about that you've got to stick in there unless you find a way to move him in the offseason or something like that. So definitely agree with you there.
And you're also getting a guy that you're going to have to stick in the outfield with the return of Ronald Acuña Jr., with the turn of Michael Harris. You have Jared Kelenic. There's a lot of moving parts in that Braves outfield, not just for just this season, Lindsay, but for 2025 as well.
Yeah, and something I keep trying to like remember here is depth will always work itself out, right? Guys will get hurt. Guys will miss time. I would rather go into the season with one too many outfielders than one too few, right?
For sure.
But it is definitely a worry you have to figure out between now and then. Okay, real quick, trade deadline is this afternoon or this evening, technically. So here's our quick pitch. We're going to go through rapid fire on some of these guys. Do they get traded? And if so, where do you think they go? All right. Tanner Scott of the Miami Marlins. Where do you think he's going?
Oh man, that's a good one. I think this is going to be one of the most biggest bidding wars of the day because there are so many people looking at Tanner Scott. I'm going to have to go and say the rich get richer, the Philadelphia Phillies.
That would be absolutely terrifying if they were to bring in Tanner Scott, but I think that would be good for them. Okay. So the best starters available. There's a trio of top tier starters. Garrett Crochet of the White Sox, Tarik Skubal of the Tigers, Blake Snell of the Giants. Do any of those guys get moved?
Crochet, I think, has to, right? But that extension's worrisome. But I think he's got to just because Chicago's in a weird spot. I think someone takes a chance on him. I just don't think it's going to be a package that they go for.
See, flip side, I think because of those comments, I think Crochet sticks around till the offseason. I don't think he gets moved until the offseason when a team is not constrained time-wise to work out an extension with him as part of the deal.
I like that. Okay, let's stick with that one. I don't think Tarik Skubal's moving. I think there's no way that guy moves.
You should. Right?
But Blake Snell's going. And he's going to be a St. Louis Cardinal.
I like that. I like that. Okay, so the other big guy in Detroit, if Skubal's not moving, Jack Flaherty. Where do we think Jack Flaherty goes? I bet he does move. My guess is the New York Yankees. They've already indicated they'd love to add him. If they did, their plan would be moving Nestor Cortez. So my prediction, Jack Flaherty to the Yankees.
I'm with you, and I'll even go one more. Jack Flaherty to the Yankees. Because of that, Nestor Cortez to the San Diego Padres.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Speaking of the White Sox, we mentioned them a second ago. Luis Robert, the center fielder, does he get moved? And if he does, where does he go?
Man, when you looked at the way that he, you could tell this with his emotion, this whole second half of the season, that he is ready to leave. He's going to move. And I think that his window is closing because of the outfielders that have moved. The Mariners still have a chat to sign an outfielder. I think they still have some room. But go ahead and give me the Kansas City Royals to pick up Luis Robert Jr.
Ooh, that would be a bigger trade than they've made in a long time. That'd be really interesting. I was thinking something like Philly. That was before they got Austin Hayes. They may still go for that, but I'm not sure. But I thought about that. Britt Rooker of the Oakland A's, outfielder, corner outfielder, DH. Do we think he gets moved? And if so, where does he go?
This is where I thought that the Phillies would come into play with Britt Rooker. But the Oakland A's have kind of stood still. And I surprisingly kind of like what they're doing. And now the Mason Miller injury might have forced their hand to do that. Yeah. I think they do wind up moving some of their relievers, but I think Brent Rooker stays with Oakland, Sacramento, Las Vegas A's.
Wherever they are. That's actually kind of my take too. I think he sticks around. Let's stay with the outfielders then. Taylor Ward of the Los Angeles Angels. Where does he go, assuming that Brent Rooker stays in Oakland?
This one's tough for me. When we were looking at this list, I said, I think I have an answer for every single one against Taylor, other than Taylor Ward. So I'm going to go on a limb here. And I think that although we saw just a couple different moves from Pittsburgh, I think the Pirates go and add an outfielder like Taylor Ward.
They did just send down Jack Suwinski. They weren't happy with his offense. They need power production and offense. Ward's not going to play center field for you, but when he's on, he's a great hitter. I like Pirates. I hadn't thought about that, but I like that. Package deal here. Not that they get traded together, but they're on the same team. Bo Bichette, Vlad Guerrero Jr. from the Toronto Blue Jays. Do they get moved? And if they do, where do they go?
I don't think there's any chance that Vlad gets moved. I think that there was an opportunity at one point, but the way that Toronto's shaping towards and what they just got from Houston, I don't think Vlad moves. I think that if anybody out of those two go, it's Bo Bichette. I think with the moves that the Dodgers made, though, between Tommy Edman and Ahmed Rosario, keep him stay still. So I think both of them stay in Toronto.
I think that Bo Bichette was the best bet to go to the Dodgers as well. I think if you move, I think there's more suitors for first base than shortstop right now. And so I could see Vlad Guerrero being moved. I just don't know where. Part of me, the two teams I think about that need first base, I think about the Houston Astros. I think about the New York Yankees. And I don't necessarily expect Toronto to move him in the division. They don't like the Yankees. So I think Vlad Guerrero, if he gets moved, I think he's going to the Houston Astros, because the next guy, the final guy on the list, Yandy Diaz of the Tampa Bay Rays, I think he's going to go to the New York Yankees.
Ooh, okay. And I'm going to say, I think he goes to the Houston Astros. That's where I think Yandy goes. So I'm glad that we both think that that's where the first base needs are. And I'm glad we both had different ways to end the way of quick pitch. Christmas in July, Lindsay.
Christmas in July. Do us a favor. Go to, like this video, subscribe to the channel. If you're on audio, give us a 5-star review. Means a ton. We will be back in your feeds tomorrow with another episode of Quick Pitch from the Inside Baseball Podcast Network.